Good to see you here this evening. I had several tell me this morning asking about having a schedule at least for what the members here can come and be a part of at the preacher's camp, and I will get with Jeff Essick and we'll get that online so that you guys can be able to kind of see the different things that that are available for anyone to come to, such as the chapels at 10 o'clock in the mornings on Monday through Wednesday, or our evening services that we'll be having Monday through Wednesday as well. I really would like for as many to come as possibly can to not only worship and to learn more about God, but to encourage these young men. We need gospel preachers. And it begins here, it begins in the home, and then comes, we help with what homes are doing with the children, but it begins in the local area. And we have got to do better at preparing young men to be preachers. We lose over somewhere between 400 to 600 a year, and we do not even produce 100 out of our colleges. And we can't continue that route. A lot of congregations I've talked to lately have said that they are really struggling to just find someone. And so the Lord's work must be done, and men have to be willing to go and to preach and teach that word. And that's what we're trying to begin to do here, to help men prepare for the greatest work that there is on this earth. 2 Samuel, if you want to please open your Bibles there. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Begin with verse 15. We all know David. We all know how his fame began there on that battlefield with Goliath. Well, this is more than 40 years after that time. And it says, now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. Then Ishbi-benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel. Now we know the story about Goliath, right? Certainly not the same story here, is it? David is a much older man at this particular point. He is in a heavy battle. He is weary. And a descendant of Goliath has it out for him. You know, they must have grown them big in the Philistines, right? They just seem to have a giant every time we turn around. But he's coming for David. And David would not have been able to overcome him had it not been for Abishai, one of his mighty men, coming to his rescue. While David defeated Goliath as a teenager, and that propelled him into the spotlight in Israel, it was what really put him in the people's eyes. I mean, certainly he became king not because of popularity. He became king because he was chosen by God. But the people began to honor David for his great victories, beginning with Goliath. You know, when we see this story, David is quite old. He is nearing the end of his reign. And Ishbi-benob has him on his heels and ready to slay. Well, I think there's several lessons we can learn from this. You know, we kind of read this as kind of a quick story, not a lot of detail. But I think there's several lessons that we can learn from these events with David. And tonight's lesson is called A Giant Slayer Almost Defeated. And the first lesson I think we can learn as we look at this particular story is that we cannot live on past accomplishments. You know, having defeated Goliath all those years ago could not help David that day as he battled this giant. The defeat of Goliath did nothing for him. As this man bore down upon him with his sword to kill him, all those things that he did that day with Goliath didn't matter anymore. He couldn't say, hey, wait a minute, I defeated your ancestor. I defeated Goliath, as if that would somehow save him in the battle. Because it simply would not. And just because he was known as a great giant slayer did not guarantee his victory. And you know, today as well, someone in the church might say, well, I've taught for years, I don't have to anymore. So we don't live on past accomplishments. Somebody might say, I have a great reputation as a deacon or a preacher or an elder. I can just kind of sit back and live on my reputation. No. No more than David could. Somebody might say, I've done some things, or many things over the years for the church. It's someone else's turn to step up. No. Can't live on those things in the past. Our reputation or past accomplishments will not keep us from failing today as we battle to be transformed into the likeness of Christ and to not be conformed to this world. Satan couldn't care less about what you did last year. Satan couldn't care less about what you did last decade. He is after what you are doing today. He is after what you will be doing this week. He doesn't care what you did last week. He can't do anything about that. He only cares about what you're doing right now and what you're going to plan to do. That's where Satan's fighting the battle with you. And so living on past accomplishments, having lived right up to this point in time, is not something that we can just stop and say, well, I've done it up this long, I can just sit back now, because the devil is still coming. You know, Satan did not care about that Jesus was God in heaven before he came to this earth. That's quite a history, isn't it? That when he emptied himself and he came to this earth as a man, Satan didn't go, well, that's God. I know he's not going to sin. No, he didn't look back at what Jesus had been before he emptied himself. He looked at Jesus Christ then as a man, and he tempted him there in the wilderness for those 40 days. And he tempted him throughout his ministry, and he tempted him right up to his death. Because Satan doesn't care what you did yesterday. We cannot live on our past accomplishments. Second thing I think we see in this story is that Satan does not give up after one defeat. You know, although David had defeated one giant, he would have to face more. And there may be times in our lives when we utterly defeat Satan. You know, he comes after us for some temptation and we take him out. We win the day. We use God's word. We say, I'm not going to do that because I'm a child of God, and we win the day. And yet we do not need to think that at the time that we have utterly defeated Satan in our lives, that suddenly the war is won. And that we can just now quit because we beat him. He's not going to come back. You know, Satan will counterattack you again and again and again. I got to see lions in Africa last year stalking a herd of zebras and wildebeest. Do you know, every morning a gazelle wakes up and he knows that he has to run faster than the lion to survive the day. Every lion wakes up in Africa knowing that they have to run faster than some gazelle or they're not going to eat that day. And you know, it doesn't matter if the gazelle outran the lion the day before. If you watch these shows, they don't always catch them. But it doesn't matter if he outran him yesterday. He's going to keep coming back. And if you wander away from the herd 10 minutes after you outran him, he will come right back after you again. Peter says the devil is just like that, didn't he? He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's a predator, and you're his prey. We need to remember that. Third thing I think we can find in this text is that we all need help at times. You know, going back to the story of Africa, I don't know if you've ever seen, and you know, the name's going to leave me because I didn't actually put this in my notes. But there is a video of this wildebeest, and he's walking along, and he's a small one, and these lions jump him, and they get him. And it's not too long into the video where then all the wildebeest, the whole herd comes, and they attack those lions. And they chunk them. I mean, they get up under them and throw them up in the air. And they actually free the one that the lions captured. So that one needed some help. And they came to his aid. And so, you know, even when we see Satan attacking us, when we see Satan maybe has someone down, we need to be there to help, to get him off of them, that we might be able to bring them back to us. Now, although David was a mighty warrior with many victories to his name and probably still a good deal of skill, he needed help on that particular day to win that battle. He needed Abishai to come and to help him win the day. David was fortunate to have a brave and strong man like Abishai to rush to his aid when he saw David faltering. You know, it does not matter who we are or what function we perform within the church. I promise you, we all need help at some time. And if you only need help once, you're indeed a fortunate person. I seriously doubt anyone in this room has only needed help once or will only need help once. I need help. You need help. At some point in our lives, we all need help. And we need to find that help with each other. We need to each be ready to offer and accept help whenever it is needed. Galatians chapter 6 makes clear that not only do we have a responsibility to bear our own burdens, but we do have a responsibility to bear each other's, to pick each other up, to help each other out when maybe we're faltering. And so just like Abishai, we need to rush to the aid of some of our brothers and sisters at times when they need it. And last of all, I think we can take from this story that our roles sometimes change. This is a hard one. This is really hard. You know, when David's men saw that he had almost been killed, they made him promise not to engage in battle anymore. Made him promise not to go out into battle anymore, lest he extinguish the lamp of Israel. David was no longer the mighty warrior that he once was, but he was still needed. So they still want, he was still the lamp of Israel. He just wasn't the warrior that he once was. He wasn't that man. I mean, David was a great warrior. In fact, it was the fact that he was such a great warrior that prevented him from building the temple. That he was a man of much blood. He had shed a lot of blood in a lot of battles. But now David, he can't do that anymore. David just needed to change his particular area of service. Likewise, there comes a time when we need to recognize that maybe we're not able to serve in the Lord's church in the same capacity that we have for maybe many, many years or even decades. And that does not mean that we put ourselves on a shelf, but rather that we just shift our area of effort. We can never outgrow our usefulness in the Lord's church. I've never known anybody so old or so unable that they couldn't make a difference in the Lord's church. You know, from the oldest gentleman that I've known in the Lord's church and his sage advice that he would give me. He couldn't do a lot physically, but he would give that good advice that brought you closer to God. He brought wisdom to bear in my life. I'm thankful to him for that. He wasn't a person who was useless. He was a person who had a great deal of knowledge and wisdom to impart. You know, it doesn't take a lot of physical ability to be able to do that anymore. You know, we cannot outgrow our usefulness in the church. We need to remember that. There have been times over the years that I have been preaching that I have trouble with my voice. And there has been times when I was concerned as to whether I would be able to continue to preach. I love to preach. There was times when I've had to consider what else I might be able to do in the Lord's church if I was unable to continue the week in, week out preaching. You know, I have seen preachers who have preached for 50, 60 years, and they become to the point that they no longer fill a pulpit full time, and a lot of them struggle with what to do. Some of them, unfortunately, become quite bitter. Probably the finest Christian preacher I've ever had the blessing to be around, he went to one of those men and he told him, he said, "Brother, you've done so much good for the church. I'd hate to think you'll be lost now because of the way you're acting. You know, may not be able to be in the pulpit anymore, but what else can I do?" You know, there will be a day for me probably like that. And I hope and pray that I will gracefully go find something else that I can do for serve the Lord. And I know there are plenty of things. So we need to realize that sometimes we need to change so that we might be able to continue to bring praise and honor to God. Well, simple fact is, we all have giants that we have to kill. Giants in our lives, those that would try to destroy us, those that would mock God as Goliath did. And we have to enter that field of battle, and we have to take them on. Don't rely on the past to win your battles today. Don't think Satan will ever stop attacking you. Don't think somehow you've gotten past the point. Let me tell you what. I have come to realize that the more you do, the more he's after you. If you ain't doing anything, you're no threat to Satan. But if you're out there working hard and you're dedicated to Christ, you're a threat. He's going to be after you with all he's got. Accept help. I've known people that needed help, good people, but they just wouldn't accept it. You know, they're too proud. Accept help. You need it. Give help. Others need it. So that we can all get to where we need to go. And we need to change with the times that we might best serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we learned from a very brief story, I believe, of David when he almost lost a battle to a giant. This evening, if you're not a child of God, we hope and pray that you will make the decision to become one. Because you right now are losing the battle to the giant of sin, but you can conquer him with Jesus Christ. Remember David when he said that I can take on that giant with God, right? And you can beat the giant of sin in your life with God, with the forgiveness that Jesus Christ provides. Because he came to this earth, he lived to give us an example, and he died to shed that perfect blood that you might be able to conquer sin. And he rose from the dead that you might conquer death. This evening you have the opportunity to become that child of God by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried in baptism. If you understand what that means and you understand your need to obey that, then we hope and pray that you'll do it. If you believe that's what you want but you don't quite understand it, we invite you to please ask someone in this auditorium after services to help you. And we'd be glad to sit down with you, show you what God has to say. Don't listen to what Nathan has to say. Listen to what God has to say. And we'll show you that and help you come to Christ. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe you haven't been fighting your giants like you should. Maybe you've let some of them defeat you. Maybe you're living on past accomplishments. Maybe you're thinking that Satan's just let you alone, not realizing that he's after you every moment. Turn to Jesus Christ. Take on those giants. Defeat those giants with him, that you may spiritually be what Christ would have you to be. If we can help you with that, we want to do so. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We'll pray that you will come as we stand and as we sing.